This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:36, Monday, the 18th of July. And in about 30 minutes, Philip, you're going to have a very interesting conversation with on the breakfast grill as usual. Who is in the hot seat this morning?
In the hot seat is Andrew Tan. He's the group managing director of Silver Lake Axis. For many of you who do not know who Silver Lake is, they really are one of the leaders here of software solutions and services to the banking, insurance, retail and government. I think most banks here have had in some way some encounter with Silver Lake Axis because they've been very instrumental in providing all the software applications for your banking platforms and solutions here. So I'm going to speak to Andrew Tan, the group managing director of Silver Lake, as he shares with us the financial performance of the business, which is not bad at all, and the impact of the 5 new digital banking licenses in Malaysia.
Yeah, I'm sure. And look at the share price, up only 56% on a year-to-date basis. And trading, not cheap. Forward earnings, 20 times PE.
In an environment where we are seeing a tech rout, it's pretty impressive.
Very much so. So do tune in. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But talking about an asset class which has been up, down, up, down, if you can even keep up with the movements, that is, of course, oil. It's been because it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, with Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate both falling between $100 per barrel threshold, the lowest level since February this year. In fact, if I'm looking at Bloomberg at this moment, Brent crude $101 and WTI $97 a barrel. So the markets are jittery at the prospect of a U.S. recession crimping demand for oil, with inflation hitting a 40-year high in June.
The fall in oil prices come in as U.S. President Joe Biden embarked on a Middle East visit with the aim of appealing to Saudi Arabia and Gulf countries to increase oil production to alleviate the soaring petrol prices. On Friday, Brent crude rebounded to $101 following signals from U.S. officials that no immediate hike in output was expected from the meeting between Biden and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. But with most of the world gripped with high inflation, what's the outlook for oil prices for the remainder of the year?
Joining us on the line for analysis is Wayne Tan, oil analyst with Bloomberg NEF. Good morning, Wayne. Thanks for speaking to us again. Now, what's causing the present volatility in oil prices? Is this purely down to fears over recession demand destruction?
Well, thanks a lot for having me on the show as well. Well, since about 2 weeks ago, oil inventories have been rising faster as compared to the same time in the previous years. In fact, the current oil inventory deficit versus historical average has shrunk to levels last seen before the Ukraine invasion happened. And so we are seeing oil prices testing those levels again. Brent prices traded in the lower half of the 90s before the invasion, and last week we saw those prices again. So the oil market fundamentals, I would liken it to the story of the tortoise and the hare, with the tortoise being supply and the hare being demand. So supply is rising slowly but surely. And while demand saw an initial boost coming out of the COVID restrictions, we are seeing strong signs of demand destruction, as you said, due to high prices, as well as the virus situation in China worsening yet again.
So let's just keep focused on the supply side, i.e. the tortoise here. Were there any signals from oil markets from the meeting between US President Joe Biden and Gulf states in terms of production output?
Well, there is not yet any firm commitment from the Saudis to increase production, and this is more of a symbolic event than anything. But I think the way some might see it is that the Saudis might be more proactive or open to hiking up production if prices rally from current levels. From a trading perspective, we could see more price resistance and that traders might be more inclined to sell any rallies, particularly before OPEC Plus meetings.
Okay, so let's talk about the OPEC Plus meeting. I mean, they're supposed to meet in August. So how do you think they will respond and what factors will they consider in determining their production strategy?
We think that if oil prices continue to trade around current levels, we expect to see OPEC Plus doing something similar to what they did in the previous meetings. They might ease production quotas, but a slightly higher or lower number, but that has little to no impact on market fundamentals. But if prices rises beyond $120 per barrel, which in our view is quite unlikely between now and the OPEC Plus meeting, of course, barring any unexpected market event, OPEC Plus could choose to increase their quotas by a significantly faster pace. But do note that only three countries at the moment have the spare capacity to increase supply, and those three countries are Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Kuwait. And if prices drop well below into the 90s or perhaps even lower, the group might choose to roll over their August quotas into September.
So what has been the impact of the EU ban on Russian oil since its implementation a month ago?
This is an interesting one, I think. Russia is actually making more money from their oil exports than before the war. And this is due to two factors, higher oil prices, and also that some of their oil cargoes have found alternative buyers in Asia, particularly China, India, and Sri Lanka. So in some ways, the ban on Russian oil has also opened up a lot of arbitrage opportunities for traders, as oil in the East has become cheaper relative to those in the West. I would also add, as you mentioned at the start of the show, that developing economies are hit hard due to stronger US dollars, higher oil prices, and that richer countries are willing to pay high prices for the oil that are typically used for domestic purposes. And so they are drawing cargoes away from those developing economies for their own use.
Okay, Wayne, you mentioned the US dollar, and we know it's been extremely strong, right? The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index up close to 10% on a year-to-date basis. Help us understand the correlation between the stronger dollar and oil prices. Does it cause demand destruction?
Yes, it does. So most of the oil contracts traded today are denominated in the US dollars. And so if you are based in an emerging economy whose currency has weakened a lot compared to the US dollars, you effectively have to pay more money for oil cargoes. And so that causes inflation and causes your affordability or your ability to buy oil cargoes to decrease.
And so where's the trajectory for oil prices in the second half of the year, you know?
I'll go back to the analogy of the tortoise and the hare here. Oil supply is rising slowly but surely. Oil demand saw an initial boost but faced some headwinds. So we are seeing road traffic levels falling, likely due to high prices at the pump. And mind you, it is the peak driving season where road driving activity should see a boost. Air travel is still very resilient due to pent-up business and leisure travel demand, and people are still willing to pay for expensive plane tickets. But jet fuel is only about 8% of oil demand, while road fuel demand is around 40% of oil demand. And oil demand from industrial and manufacturing sector could also take a hit due to recession and rising interest rates. And of course, China demand could see more headwinds due to rising virus cases right now. So we are more bearish than bullish at the moment on oil prices.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder, right, with China's further COVID lockdown strategy and rising cases, right, could we see oil prices stay below 100 or go below 100 for a sustained level, you think?
Well, we think that that's definitely a probable scenario. We are already, based on the high frequency indicators we are looking at, particularly for air travel and road traffic demand, road traffic demand has already taken a hit, while their international air travel in China has yet to even reopen, let alone the domestic air travel as well has also taken a hit. So we definitely could see the lockdowns in China being a big factor, narrative driving oil prices moving ahead. And that could also be one of the key factors as to why oil prices stay below $100 per barrel.
But Wayne, is there the possibility that oil prices will inch up as we head towards winter season in the Northern Hemisphere, though?
That is what we saw in the fourth quarter of last year as well. And that's because there was a restriction in gas flows from Russia towards Europe. And so there was a lot of gas to oil switching happening. So because of the lack of gas supply from Russia, a lot of European consumers would switch over from natural gas over to middle distillates to use as a source of heating demand. Mm. At the current moment, if we see sort of an unprecedented a very cold winter season in the fourth quarter, as well as the fact that if Europe is unable to replace some of their Russian gas supply, we could very well see that situation happening again. And as I will allude to our guest analyst for this, I think that this is a very probable scenario as well.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Wayne Tan, oil analyst at Bloomberg NEF. Bearish on oil prices, actually, at this moment. But be warned, if it's a very cold winter season, then we might see oil prices popping up again.
When I listen to Wayne, the biggest issue is that demand is going to fluctuate and change, right, with the situation and happening with Russia and such. But the problem we have is supply really is constrained. And he was saying there are only three countries which have refining capacity moving forward.
So, Saudi, UAE and Kuwait, actually.
Exactly. It's so few countries that have ability to deploy. So the question is, for the midterm, long term, where is the investment in refining capacity to make sure that we have flexibility to up and reduce production and capacity going forward?
That's why we're in the pickle that we are in, because there hasn't been any capex. And I think with the shift towards renewable energy, that capex might not happen. So I think the point is, are we going to see prices of oil at this level for a while? Yes, I think so.
And because of that, volatility is here to stay.
Yeah, for sure. But up next, we're going to be discussing the main takeaways from the weekend's PKR Congress. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.